Hi, this is Beena Chpanmaya, and this is Ritika. And along with me is my co-host, Arjun
Hey everyone.
Manohar. So in this podcast, we decode human behavior and understand what really goes in our mind while making decisions. All this with examples from the real world that you can apply irrespective of being a business, a freelancer, or just an individual. So today, we also have with us the third face of Maya, and he is Siddharth Jaimin. Siddharth looks over all things digital, and it's weird to call him Siddharth because we always call him German. And when I call him Siddharth, it feels like I'm calling someone else. So, hey, Siddharth.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me here. It's truly a pleasure. I am an avid listener of Beena, and I've even been a part of a couple of podcasts from before.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. So 2020 has been an eventful year, and it has been a year of so many firsts, so many highs and lows, and it involved adapting to a lot of new things on a daily basis. And today we reflect on how this year was for us. And though it was an eventful one and it had more lows than highs, we did find some positivity from our digital family. And one of the things I'm really, really happy about is that a podcast is being listened to by people from over 12 plus countries. And this was something I never thought when I was starting it back in August.
Absolutely. So we had no idea it was going to get the reach that we're going to get, especially since we were doing everything. This was the first time we were trying everything. Everything was organic. We were just waiting and listening what kind of reach, what kind of distribution we'll get for the podcast. Anchor's been like a great platform for all of us, and any podcasters starting out should definitely try Anchor. And even if you look within the 12 countries, for example, take India. Within India, we get a reach from north, south, east, west, literally every single state we have listeners. So that's been great as well. But another thing which I'm grateful for is that we grew along with our brand, right? When we started, we were an idea back in August. And now we are like a fully functioning brand. We have more than what we could ask for. And one event that I keep going back to is our rebranding effort. The whole experience was rather insightful and exhilarating. And a lot of thought went to it from all our sides. And when we look back and we saw the reception that we were getting, I think me personally, I was swept off on my feet, right? It was beautiful. And as an individual, I think we learned a lot from this ordeal too. For me personally, it showed me that it's never too late to try something new. Be it just like having a new style or learning a new language or just following your passion or picking up something that you left behind. This has been great.
That's true. I think the rebranding effort, I remember the long calls we used to have, 3 hours or longer, and so many fights in between too. We started with something else, and then somewhere along the way, though it was relatively faster that we discovered that maybe this is not something we want to go with. Initially, we were just focused very much on marketing, but then we discovered that there is more than marketing that we can do. And then we incorporated design, conversion optimization, UI, UX, and everything there. And most importantly, behavioral economics. And that somewhere has become our identity now. So it has certainly been quite a ride for us. And it's been great so far. I'm hoping that 2021 we really grow more. And I think the rebranding efforts, I don't think so there will ever be a place where you'll be like, huh, it's fine, we have achieved whatever you want to achieve. Since none of us, all three of us, we are the kind that we really try to improve and try to be better. I think rebranding or working on ourselves would be a continuous effort for us, and it will continue in 2021 and the year after that as well. So, yeah,
Absolutely. It's not going to end. We're just going to keep getting better.
right. So, talking about the growth that we have, it wouldn't be possible without the people that we have around us. And Instagram, we have a very good family over there, and there were certain posts that really stood out and people really resonated with them. So today I thought maybe we can discuss about some of the posts that people really liked, and I'm hoping that the people listening to this podcast today will also find it to their liking. So one of the posts was a case study, and it's a case study which is about a bullied burger, and this case study received a lot of shares, and a lot of people liked it. So turns out perhaps people really like reading case studies, and also the topic was very different. So I was just going through some advertisements, and I came across this advertisement by Burger King, and it was a collaboration with Nobully. And it turns out that one in three kids get bullied by their peers, and the percentage is higher if you belong to a minority. So Burger King collaborated with Nobly, and what they did was they did an experiment in which this was staged in Burger King, and people were served a burger which was smashed. So that was a bullied burger, and on the other end there was a actual human being which was being bullied by some people. And it's a normal restaurant, it's a normal day. People are watching that happen in front of them, and they're also receiving this smashed up burger. Now, 95% of people were actually worried that their burger was getting bullied and not an actual person. So very few of them raised voice against that human being bullied, and 95% of them raised a voice about their burger being bullied. So that was this case study. And it's surprising to see that people do not stand up for humans, but they do stand up for their food.
I think there's an underlining message over here as well that, I mean, from a marketing standpoint, conscious ads like these, they really leave a mark on the minds of everyone, not just consumers or just human beings in general. I think more people should try doing these kinds of ads as well. But on a flip side, on another, it's just that how much of that transpire in daily lives just gets overlooked because we are so focused on what is ours and ours only, right? We seldom pay attention to the people right around us. And looking back on this lockdown, one sector of people that we occasionally say hi and bye to became the people that we grew close to. Again, I'm speaking about our parents, our relatives, our close loved ones. So yeah, so just from a lot of perspectives, this ad was many things to us, and I think it deserves a stage of its own. And to talk about bullying, I mean, there is no excuse for bullying, and it should stop immediately. And we are just happy that brands like Burger King are doing something to stand up against it.
That's true. And I was just going to the post right now, and I found this comment by Bruno. He is by the name AV Marketing Limited on Instagram. He writes, "It's such an amazing way to convey the message. What we all say when someone does that is, 'Hey, don't do that.' But I don't think someone's mindset changes with 4 words. And Burger King did it. This is enough to change someone's thought. Love the post. Keep it coming." So comments like these are the things that motivate us on the days when we are like, oh no, the things are not working out, we should just stop or try something new. Things like this is what really helps us and keep us motivated.
Definitely.
So this was one of the posts that really ranked well amongst all the posts that we have. Another post that fared really well was a graphical representation of how we think. And all of us like to think that a thought process is very well grounded. We think rationally almost, if not all the time, most of the time. But this graph showed that how rational thinking is just the tip of the iceberg, and there is so much more that lies beneath. It's the emotions, the feelings, the attitudes, the instincts, and that subconscious very often drives our decisions, and it's not always rational. So this post really fared well. I think this is one of the posts that I really thought people will not like much because we think that the attention spans are narrowing, and who will really read for that long? I had a huge description of 4 or 5 paragraphs, and I really thought nobody would, but people were very receptive, and there were a lot of comments pouring on this one. It someone says with the name Marketing 101 says, true, appeal to your customer's subconscious and conscious. And the other one says that emotional selves drives our decisions, no matter who we think is in control. And this is Seema Bhatavia, if I'm saying it right. She says that, and she it's very beautifully said. We think that we are in control of what we do and what we say, but more often than not, it's our emotions that take control of ourselves, and we think it is us, but it is not.
I think this post was also important because this was our first experiment post. You know, we split it across 2 different days. We had an experiment that ran the day before. We gathered the results from Instagram stories. This is our first time we were in, what do you say, experimenting with Instagram stories as well. And a lot of that responses was gone into making this post as well. So just to see everything come together and people actually following the content, you know, following the content of around 2, 3 days, that was also quite interesting, if I could add.
Yeah, that's true. I think so, yes. I think after that, seeing the results of this post really helped us gain perspective of posting content which we wanted to in the first place. And we were always scared that maybe people would not like it and they won't read it. But this post showed us that though it is not a post that a lot of people talk about, and the content was different, but there are certainly some people who would still approve of it. And if the content has value, and if you think it has value, you should definitely talk about it. The results, if it is not a success, it's definitely something you can learn from. And all our posts till now, also whatever we post, there are some learnings from each of the individual posts we have made thus far. Okay, so now let us move to the podcast that we have. So amongst the podcast that we have recorded, I think this will be the 9th episode or the 8th episode. So what is your favorite podcast from the ones that we have recorded? Siddharth, you can go first.
So my favorite podcast, which was recorded, would definitely be episode 4, which is What Are Nudges. And the reason why I like it so much is obviously because the subject matter is absolutely critical. And in over the last few years, we've seen a resurgence of psychology in the field of economics, and nudges was at the forefront of that. And now we're seeing it percolate down to marketing itself. And nudges are play a powerful role in marketing, and it's still being completely unwrapped on the different ways we can use nudges. But I think that it's a great beacon for the time to come.
That's true. I think it's one of those things that we talk about quite a lot, but very few people actually understand what is nudge. And a lot of times we try to do the nudging part, but we end up doing the sludge part, which is not at all a good nudge. So, Arjun, what will it be for you?
Well, it's hard to say which was what, like my most favorite one, but I really like the podcast I did with Ben and George. Ben, because of like the man's tried so many different things, right? And from the world of marketing, he's just like a marketing encyclopedia. And especially when he's in the field that I'm most interested in, which is data and analytics. So I personally, from a career perspective, I learned a lot by speaking to him. From George, it's more from like a life perspective. Like he knew
That's true.
now the field that we are passionate about, that's behavioral science, behavioral economics. And as a behavioral experimentalist himself, we learned a lot every single time we spoke to him. And every single conversation with George was like just infinitely more engaging, more insightful than the last one. So I mean, I love talking to George. I can do it all over again.
I know. I was with you on the podcast with George, and we recorded it together. And at one point of time, it felt that it was not us that who were interviewing George. It was him that was interviewing us. So it was very different. He made it so comfortable, and I, for one, I'm not up for talking about a lot of my life experiences, especially if that's something personal. I am quite hesitant to talk about it. But just by him, there's something about him. He made us feel so comfortable. And it was, I think, it's a 1.5 hour long podcast, and I could easily talk for 1.5 hour more, and still there'd be something more to talk about. It was quite interesting. So now, if I talk about my favorite podcast, since I think you people have covered most of them, so for me, I think it would be the music one. Music and its influence on culture and decision making. So I don't listen to a lot of songs, but I have recently. I really felt the impact music has, and so as a part of a New Year resolution, and I think most of us have that specific resolution, I thought I will do something healthy, and I started walking, and started walking and running. So the music, if I am playing a song which is really mellow tone, I would walk at a very, very low pace. I will casually stroll around. But if I listen to a song which is high intensity, which has much more beats, which is energetic in nature, that would determine the way I would exercise. So, and I did not know that was happening until unless I listened to this podcast, and then suddenly, when I listened to this podcast, I started paying attention to how music influences us. And Arjun, you have spoken beautifully about a lot of things of how music has a very profound impact on our minds. And you've also talked about the beats and tempo along with DJ Ben. So that was all of that. I was listening to it. And then I was listening to music while exercising. And it's really weird to see that the high intensity and the energetic music makes me exercise a lot more and with a lot more intensity than a slow paced music would. And every day I'm observing that, and every day it happens. So, and it also uplifts my mood in a lot of ways. So I have specific songs that if I feel low, I go back to them, and every single time they work like a charm. They help me move from that sad mood to a good mood again, or if not good, slightly better.
Yeah, absolutely. My gym, however, thinks that EDM, techno dance music is the way to go. And me personally, that much of tempo is not required in a gym. A little less will suffice. But that's just a personal observation.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk more about this in the rapid fire round. I have some questions for you people. So
Yes,
we'll
sir.
talk about music then as well. So next question is, are there any people that you learned from in the previous year? Arjun, you can go first.
Well, I would have to go with George again because everything from life experiences to trauma, I learned a lot from him personally. So, yeah, this George we keep referring to is George Eldrick, who's a behavioral experimentalist, and he operates out of his own unit, which is called the Nudge Culture. Go check it out on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I think you people will really learn a lot from George. So if you have the time, definitely check out his page on LinkedIn or on Instagram. He's by the name George Elric in both the places. So coming to Siddharth now, what is it for you, Siddharth?
So one person who I learned a lot from this year, his name is Nikunj Agarwal. He started a agency called the Invisible Paintbrush, which is a small agency which works with small businesses. And it was the discussion we had was about marketing attribution and how so much of digital marketing ends up being a black box where you can't actually tell whether the marketing activities got you the gain that you have, or whether they caused the loss which you're going through, and it becomes very difficult to attribute data and attribute gains in particular of campaigns. And it was during these discussions where I was able to get a lot more clarity about what kind of things you can attribute and what kind of things require you to be more resourceful so that you can attribute it properly, and what kind of things we don't currently have a way to attribute it, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, that's true. I think that is one of the problems with marketing, since a lot of things are difficult to attribute to. People do not find value in it. And that is why people are reluctant to invest into marketing, because there are no tangible, sometimes there are no tangible things that you can see from it. Yeah, so if I talk about myself, I discovered this podcast. It's called Behavioral Groups. And that's a really, really interesting podcast. I think a lot of people into behavioral economics could already be familiar with it. But I, no, but yeah, it, I think it's really worth mentioning, because every single podcast, every single episode of that podcast I listen to, it's a bundle of knowledge that I have to unpack. They talk about things from from music, as the name suggests, behavioral groups, to marketing, to neuromarketing, to the impact behavioral economics has on food, and a lot of things. They have a lot of people they interview, and every single episode is tagged for knowledge, new things that I had no clue about. So that's one thing I learned a lot from. One of the funny things I recently heard in the one of the episode was that I think I forgot the name of the person they were interviewing, but he has a consultancy of his own, this person, and he did an experiment. I think the consultancy is called Sprint Valley, and he did an experiment in which he asked people, what do you think is round, Kiki or Booba? And people told that it's Booba. Booba is round. And then he asked, why is Booba round? So, and people said all sort of things like Booba sound round, and it's the shape you form when you speak Booba, and it sounds round in nature, and Kiki sounds like a spiky, sharp object. Now, there is no logic to this question, but all of us have our own perceptions, and those perceptions seem so real, and they somehow direct our decisions and our thought processes. It is all happening in the background, so we don't notice their impact. But all of these small things impact us in very different ways. And that example, it's totally illogical. What is Kiki? What is Booba? Nobody is even asking who is Kiki, who is Booba. But nevertheless, they know how they look like.
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting. And every episode is. So that was one thing that... I think that I really, really learned. And now I'm a regular on the podcast, by the way. So that's one thing for me. So now we're talking about things that we learned from. Let's see the things that we really remember looking back at 2020 and the events that shaped our 2020. Are there any such events in your life? Siddharth, let's start with you.
So I think that the biggest event for me in 2020 was... just the lockdown and COVID-19, because I was actually working in travel and hospitality before it happened, and that actually caused me to lose my job, and I was forced to figure out what I was going to do. And that's when I turned to entrepreneurship, and I think that that was such a great decision, and I haven't looked back since. And it was due to that decision where I was able to learn so much, and why I'm able to be here today talking to you.
That's right. I think the pandemic has significantly changed the way we looked at things. For me, if I say it, I still remember I was in Bangalore when suddenly we got the news that places around the world are getting into lockdowns.
Yeah.
India was still not getting into a lockdown anytime soon. We did not have any news for that. But we were seeing a lot of places around the world, they were getting locked down. So I still remember I was thinking that, should I go back to my home or should I stay in Bangalore? I live in North India and Bangalore is somewhere towards South India. So I was constantly thinking about it. Should I not? And there was no news of the lockdown. So I was not understanding the gravity of the situation at that point of time. I thought maybe sometime later I could go. But then it was like in a minute I booked the ticket. Somehow I just booked the ticket. I still did not know the events. I just booked the ticket, and the 19th I was back to my hometown, and the next day it was lockdown. And had I not booked it, had I waited for a day more, I would never be in Kanpur. I would be in Bangalore. And really grateful that I actually did that, and I am now at home. Though it would be a very big problem to, I think mentally it would be a very big problem. There would be some logistics and some things that would be a bit of a problem. But mentally, it would take a really a big toll on my mental health if I would be alone there in Bangalore. And now that I'm in my house, I feel that I'm quite grateful that I am now back. And Maya perhaps would not have been here if I did not return back.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that significantly shaped the events of our, I think all three of our lives. Arjun, what would be for you? Looking back, what do you think?
I think looking back, I'm also on similar lines, because if you remember, I was like an average Joe. You know, I had a steady job, a steady salary, you know, just routine basically. And something happened just one day, and I was like, this is not enough. Like, I need more, I want more, and I don't think I'm going to get in any kind of job or one that I'm passionate about. So I wanted to take a break from everything and just realign myself, and it came Maya, and it's been great so far.
That's true. I remember you were liking your job initially, but soon, sometime, I think some years down the line, you did not like your job a bit, and you were constantly searching for something more, but it was always a struggle for you. You were not able to find that something. And this time that we got when you're working from home and in Bangalore, if some people in Bangalore are listening to us, then you know how much time we spend in traffic.
Yeah.
That safe time now. We have so much time to think and listen to what we think. In Bangalore, it's really not possible with 3 hours in traffic. So, yeah, things really got into perspective because of the time we are grateful to have.
So, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So it's becoming kind of a little serious. So let's jump on to the next segment, which would be a rapid fire round. So we can go one by one. And it will just be 6 or 7 questions. And you have to say whatever comes to your mind in an instant. All right?
Okay.
So let's start with the first one. Who wants to go first, Arjun or Siddharth?
I can go first.
All right. So one word to describe 2020.
Tumultuous.
That was not rapid.
That is about as rapid as I could. That's a
intense
question.
Let's go to the second one.
Okay. What about, do you guys have a word to describe 2020?
For me, it will be gratitude.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah, Arjun, what will it be for you?
Challenging.
Oh, yes, that's right. Those are some really nice words. Okay, second question. The new habit you picked up in 2020, one new habit. Siddharth?
For me, it would be keeping a conscious eye on continuously making small gains, like every day, just trying to be a little bit better, so that once a year is over, the aggregation of those small gains can really be worth something.
That's really thoughtful.
That's really profound. I was going to say sketching, but now I feel like
you already have some of these things, so you can definitely go back to your sketching. This is.
I was going to do something similar now. I think I also will have to think of it. Okay, so Arjun, it's sketching for you.
That's the I don't know what else to say. I was going to say sketching, and
this
now
it totally
I'm a little
works.
dumbfounded.
For me, it was reading, but now I think I'm just sounding cliche.
Yeah, no, thanks, Siddharth.
Yeah, let's go to the next question.
Question,
yeah. So, work from home or work from office?
Work from home.
Work from home.
Work from home, that's a unanimous one. Yeah. Fourth one, the product you frequently bought in 2020?
Mm-hmm. Sanitizer.
Yeah. Sanitizer, yeah. That's the only new product which wasn't there before.
Face mask. I've been experimenting with different types.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was my answer. Face mask. That was what I was about to say. Now they have different kinds of face masks. So face mask is for me.
So how do you differentiate between face mask and face mask? And the difference is one is that thing you put on your face and the other thing is also the thing that you put on the face.
I guess one has like a medical rating and the other is just for decoration.
Oh no, that's for decoration. This was supposed to be a rapid fire round, but we are now contemplating on every answer that we are giving.
Well, that's 2020 for us, right? It's contemplation time. So there's nothing rapid or fire about, or actually I shouldn't say fire because a lot of things got
on. But yeah, 2020 is the year to slow down. So even our rapid fire needs to slow down.
It has slowed down considerably now. I'm thinking if I ask for face mask and the person gives me the other mask, now I don't know what face mask I asked for.
It's a very pertinent question. How do you know?
We don't. The answer is
we don't.
Yeah,
that's the thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's time to go to the next question.
Yes.
Yeah. So the one thing you found most useful in 2020, apart from synonyms and antonyms?
I would say it would be my headphones. I think it's the most expensive headphones I've ever bought in my life. And it's well worth it because of the noise canceling and everything. It's just,
that's cool.
Yay.
Siddharth, what's for you?
So for me, I bought a little thing called a DAC amp, which is supposed to make high quality music even better. And I found that it was definitely, even though some people told me that it's not really going to be worth it and it's not going to really do what you need it to do, it or you're not going to be able to tell a difference, I think that you definitely can tell a difference. And I've used it so much over this last year.
Could it be a placebo effect?
I mean, it's definitely possible, which is why I wanted you to also come and check it out and see if like what you think about it.
I will try that once the lockdown's over and we're free to move again.
These answers, people are talking about music and stuff, and my answer is coffee.
It's a good one. I've tried two different kinds of coffee.
Two different kinds of coffee. All right.
I mean, I went from Nescafe to brew and then immediately figured out that's a bad place to be and came back to Nescafe.
Yeah, oh, like that. Oh, yeah. I've been drinking, I think, the same coffee since years now. So that is the one thing that keeps me going. But I think that has been since the time I started drinking it, which was 8 years, 9 years ago. It's not 2020, but it's my life. My life depends on coffee. I lose my mind if I don't have that. I don't have anything else like music or technology that helped me. Nothing like that.
You've got coffee and music.
Coffee.
Hey, that sounds nice.
Coffee and cakes, I can say, yeah. And now I can use some gym. Okay, so now moving on to the other question. Your favorite books / movies that made a positive impact on you? Arjun?
Book I am still reading. It's called Alchemy by Rory Sutherland. I'm only a few pages in and I can't keep the book down. But I have to keep the book down because I have a lot of work to do. Movies, I think it's actually an old movie. It's called Megan Levy. It's about this corporal K-9 soldier called Megan, and she was like, her life was all over the place, and then she joined the army, and then she became a canine instructor, and then she saw war with this dog, and when she retired, she had some PTSD, and she tried really hard to adopt this military dog, but the military wouldn't allow it because they said it's not okay for civilian use. And yeah, she had to wait for the dog to retire as well. So it was like a really good story about like bonding.
It sounds interesting.
It was very nice. You should watch it. It's like beautiful. Kate Mara, awesome acting as always.
That's really nice. Never had a dog by myself. I think I was very young when I had one. But I do know that the relationship you have with dogs, that's so beautiful.
And yeah, and I think that's what that movie really captured, is that bond between like a human and like a canine, right? It was just a really nice, good family movie for everyone.
Maybe I can watch it sometime this week. But yeah, the other thing that you talked about, alchemy, I think that is the book for me. I haven't been a reader all this while in my life. I don't like to really read much. But then I got my hands on alchemy. And if you look at my book, I have so many notes on it. I have marked it with different color pencils. I have sticky notes. And normally when you're watching a movie or some series, you start laughing. That's how I was doing when I was reading this book. Rory Sutherland, he's such a witty human being, so funny. The way he talks and the sarcasm he has, oh my God. It's such a great book to read. And since it's all from the experiences that he has gained in his real life, it is so relatable, and everything, the language, it just flows. And the way it is written, everything about that book, and even how it looks, it's golden, the golden cover. It's just a very beautiful book. It got me to reading, and I'm really not one up for it. So if someone listening to it has always struggled with reading, then maybe you should start with Alchemy, The Power of Ideas That Don't Make Sense by Rory Sutherland. He is a vice chairman of Ogilvy. So I think that's one thing you can start from.
Okay.
I think enough about me. Siddharth, what about you? Your favorite book or movies?
My favorite book would be this book by Yuval Noah Harari called Homo Deus, which is the second part in his 3-book series, which is really critically acclaimed. And what I really like about that book is that it's one of the few books which uses like logic to paint like a future of humanity. Like most authors, like they seem like a bit hesitant to like be like, this is what the future is going to be. But he says it like really clearly. And I agree with the logic and his premises. And I really do think that the way that he's envisioned future scenarios in that book is how it's going to play out. And it is just really comforting to be able to see like a glimpse into the future and then like chart my own way, knowing what's going to happen later.
I haven't really read the book, but I have heard a lot about it. I think it's everybody praises this book. So I think that is also something that I think I would read, since now I've already started reading. So yeah, I think I'll do that one too. So two things. The movie. I really want you to tell me the name of the movie again, Arjun.
That would be Megan Levy.
Okay.
It's the name of the soldier herself.
So, and that, and the book by Yuval. Name of the person again.
Yuval Noah Harari. And the book is called Homo Deus.
Okay. So I've taken note of that. And I'll go to it. Yes. So now this is the last and final question of the rapid fire round. So this is your anthem of 2020, the song that you keep listening and going back to. So that's that.
So for me, a song of which came out in 2020, which I keep going back to, is by this gentleman called Offset, who was a member of a 3-man band called Migos. Yeah, indeed. And he branched out from them and created an album called Father of Four. And in that is hidden away this wonderful gem of a song called Red Room. Yeah, and like okay. I would really advise that you like listen to this song on like high fidelity audio equipment if possible, or at least like not on like really crappy headphones, because it has a lot of like subtlety and nuances, and it just, it's a really interesting song, especially given his background and how challenging it can be to become famous as a group and then branch off on your own. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think it encapsulates a lot of that really well.
I like that song too. I've been listening to that on repeat ever since you recommended
it. Isn't it something else?
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's so
different. And,
yeah. Especially the part where he talks about that when he grew up, you know, he didn't have anything. So now since he's made it, his mother first priority house, was
to get her a house of her own because they were so heavily mortgaged and things.
Yeah. That line, you know, I was like, yo. What? Okay. Mine's a bit lighthearted. I really like what Drake was experimenting with music this year, like with Tootsie Slide and Laugh Now, Cry Later. You know, his songs, they're like, it's just catchy. You know, there's nothing overly meaningful like Red Room about it, but they were just really nice. His collaboration with, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, DJ Khaled, the song called Grease. That was a good song. Like, unbelievable.
Drake has this like way of just pumping out the hits.
Yeah. And he even knows it and he says it at the end of the Grease. Like, I just made another hit with this one. But it's true, you know, it's true. Yeah. So, yeah, for me, I think the song that really, you know, that, and it's not a song that released this year, but it's a song I keep going back to. It's that, I forgot the name of the song. Damn it. Give me a second.
You keep going back to, and now you don't remember the name.
Yeah, man. What nonsense.
It's all right. It happens.
I just want to be sure that's the song's name.
So while you take the time to think about it, for me, it is the song by Matthew Mole. He's a South African singer, and it's called Take Yours, I'll Take Mine. I'm not sure if the song has a very profound meaning behind it, but the way he sings it, the simplicity he has, and it's so full of energy. It's really... one of the best songs I've heard. And if you really want to uplift your mood, you can watch Matthew Mole's concert. And the crowd that the concert had, that energy that communicates to you, even though you're watching it virtually on your screen. So that is it for me. Matthew Mole it is. Arjun, did you remember by any chance now?
Yes, it's Rachel's Little Brother by Stormzy.
Okay.
Yeah, and just the starting of that song when he says, Father, help me through the pain. Father, be the shelter when it's due to rain. It's just beautiful. You know, everything that he says in the song, every word, every para, every bar, you know, it just makes so much sense, you know. And although I'm not grown up in London like he has, just spending how much ever time I spent in that city, I could really relate with a lot of the things that he was saying. I just really like that song.
We learned quite a lot of new things from this rapid fire round. So with that, I think we come now to the end of this episode. So, do you have any closing thoughts, anything that you want to say about this year and anything that comes to your mind in general? Virgin, you can go first.
I think this year has been a year of experimentation. And I'm not putting that lightly. A lot of bad things happen in this world this year. a lot of people lost their loved ones, and there's no quantifying that loss or that hole that leaves with these people. But to a certain sect of people, it is also a time when they really stopped and thought about, like, what are they doing with their lives? So you often just go along with the flow. And we've been told multiple times, you know what, I'm just going with the flow. But I think 2020 is a year when we question that flow. I for one, started questioning that flow. And I figured that this is not enough, right? You know, this is really not enough. Our mundane routine stuff is just not enough. And just going back and just looking at everything that I've been able to accomplish when I set my mind to it, I often gave myself excuses. You know, age was a limiting factor, time was a limiting factor. And although there is no, factually, we did not get any extra additional time during our day, all the lockdown did was free up some time that would be taken by some other kind of activities. I think we all just learned to optimize our time better because a lot more was expected out of us. Whether me as a working employee, the working hours were no longer 8 hours. It was not specified. It was not stipulated. I ended up working like 10, 15 days. And some days I would work as less as 2 hours per day. And that got me thinking, like, this is really me not making the most of my time. So I think this year is the time when we experimented. It is the time when we looked at ourselves and we looked at what we can do, and any passion, anything that we had, we have gone ahead and worked on it, and then we have reaped what we sow. So for us, especially for me, I think that's been great.
That's really good to know. So that what it will be for you.
One closing thought I had was that there's so many people like us who are starting off their own business or agency or whatever, and we have good experience. We've worked really hard to make sure that our methodologies are correct and we're always doing the best that we can. And I think that larger companies and larger contracts should consider agencies like us, especially today, since so many new agencies like this have been started. And you don't always need to go to legacy agencies to get the best service. In fact, in some of the smaller agencies, you'd probably get as good service, if not better.
Yeah, well, that's true. I think there has been a shift in how people perceive agencies. Until now, it was all about the big brands. But now people have changed their outlook. Since a lot of, if you talk about marketing, a lot of it has moved to digital now.
Yeah.
So that's where the smaller agencies are coming into the play. So yeah, the landscape has changed somewhat. There is a change in perspective towards the bigger or smaller agencies and the kind of work we will expect from them. If I talk about what are the things that come to my head now when I look back or just in general, I think it will be a blend of what both of you said. A lot of this year taught me that it really made me value the time I have. So that was one thing. I overlooked, normally on a daily basis, there are so many things that we should be grateful about, but we just ignore them. So that was put into perspective for me. I did realize that the importance of self-care and the importance of happiness. And one thing that really stuck with me was that happiness cannot be searched outside. People can only support you and they can comfort you in some way. But happiness is an inside job. It never happens outside. So if you are sad or anything, you can call up a friend. It definitely will help you. But the effort for you to make yourself happy, that is from within. You need to understand your thoughts and you need to acknowledge them, not ignore them. For me, a lot of the time I did ignore them because there was literally no time to think about what I was thinking or a lot of other reasons or excuses, if I may say. But that was put into perspective. And the other thing I think that I will take with me the next year is that there is no limit to learning. Every day, I listen to a podcast or I read a book, or for the least, if I start observing the things that are around me, which now I really do, there is scope for learning in every small little thing that I see or that is around us. And all of those things were not at all there before the pandemic set in. So though there are a lot of negative effects, as Azud said, and there is no denying that, it did. I'm grateful that now I'm in a place that I can see things slightly better than I was earlier. And I'm grateful for that. So, yeah, that is that. So, yeah, I think that is that. And for me, I think those will be my learnings. One more thing I think I would close the podcast on. If you people have something to say, you can go ahead. Siddharth and Arjun, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I'd also like to be appreciative of the clients that we have worked with this year. I think, thank you for giving us the opportunity. Thank you for trusting us. And we've learned as much from you as we hope you have learned from us.
That's true. I think, yeah, there have been a lot of learnings from everyone we have interacted with, including our clients. So with that, I think that's it. We come to the close of this episode. I will just leave you with this recent, I read this quote recently and I thought it perhaps can be useful for the listeners. It is by Nassim Nicholas Taleb, and he says that missing a train is only painful if you run after it. Likewise, not matching the idea of success others expect you is only painful if that's what you are seeking. So on that note, seek your goals, seek them for yourself, and try less to be bothered about what others expect from you. Rather, stand true to your expectations and your goals. With that, that's an end to the podcast today. Have a great year. Wish you a very happy new year from all of us here at Maya. See you next year. Bye-bye.